Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 8:09 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, as he does every Monday at this time, Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Sir, good to have you.
Hey. Good to be back.
Good to have you. So one thing I wanted to ask you about, I didn't know this story. I know what I've read, so you tell me, but a case of an overdose that got re-evaluated by the medical examiner. Of course, I know Dr. Oleski very well. She's a dear friend. Mm-hmm. And it was turned into a homicide investigation. But can you maybe clarify some of this? Because it's an investigation involving your office, and it's, to me, very interesting.
Yeah, and, you know, this is not the first time. We were one of the first agencies in the state of Florida to arrest somebody for basically giving pills to people and killing them. If you remember back in the early 2000s, we had Dr. Graves, who was prescribing all kinds of OxyContin and stuff just at incredible levels. And one of the people that he did that to died, and he got sentenced to, I want to say, 35 or 40 years in prison. So this isn't new for us, but this case, it's if we can track it back to a certain sale by a certain individual, and a person dies of an overdose because of that sale, we're going to charge him in Santa Rosa County, and hopefully he's going to go to prison, because you're slinging this trash and you're selling pills that you don't even know what's inside the pills, because, you know, they're either made in China or they're made in a garage somewhere with a pill press, and you're selling this trash to people and people are dying. So any chance we get to put somebody in prison for it, we're going to take it.
Is there a particular statute that empowers that arrest? I mean, I know that selling of the drugs themselves is illegal, but is there a statute that specifies the legal culpability? Because it kind of feels like the felony murder rule. It kind of feels like serving alcohol to a drunk in your bar and then he goes and kills somebody DUI. It feels like those things, but all of those things I know have specific rules attached to them. Does this one?
Yeah, and I believe it does. I believe back in the mid-2010 or 15 range, somewhere in there, they basically put a stipulation in one of the laws addressing that if you sell illegal substances or any controlled substance, somebody and they die, technically you can be charged for it. So it just puts drug dealers on notice. I mean, you know, you're selling it with impunity, just anybody, whoever, you know, they don't care about age, they don't care about anything. And some people pay the ultimate price for taking the pill, and hopefully we can hold people accountable for it.
Hey, if we can hold, to whatever degree we can, if we can hold the pharmaceutical manufacturers, if we can hold the pill mills, if we can hold the mules who bring it across the border, and certainly it wouldn't get into some kid's hands or some adult's hands if it weren't for the drug dealer. I'm all for it. I mean, you know, anything to hold these people accountable, because 70,000 Americans a year, you know, at one point were dying from this stuff. So. I'm with you. Good for you guys. One of the things I was going to ask you about is the air show. I know it's more of an Escambia County thing, especially with traffic, but you had the causeway closed for a couple of hours going, after 3 o'clock for basically people who wanted to go either watch it from Navarre and go out, or I guess some people who drove through, the seashore to get to Navarre to exit. But everything worked okay for the air show?
Yeah, it went good. And also another thing we do is we put our boat unit over there in the sound over, to assist with their boat unit, because they just get slammed. I mean, we have people obviously at our beach as well, but nothing like Casino Beach when the Blues fly. It's incredible over there. So we shut down Navarre Beach Bridge for any oncoming traffic and made both lanes southbound. And also had a deputy there controlling the light at 98 and the causeway just to help alleviate some of the traffic, because I don't know what the official count was on that day, but it was a bunch.
Yeah, it was very, very busy. I mean, I don't think we've gotten official traffic counts in Escambia yet on, like, Bob Sykes Bridge, but, you know, yeah. Huge weekend, obviously, massive, yeah. Possibly the biggest ever, which is, yeah. I mean, sure, next year it'll be even bigger because that's the way this trend tends to be going. Anything else happening in Santa Rosa County? You and I had talked a little bit before you came on the air about something that's concerning you right now that kind of seems to have come from nowhere.
Yeah, it's an uptick in suicides, and I believe we had two yesterday. And it's just it's kind of it's on the rise. And you know, I would just say this to anybody that is even contemplating that in the smallest level. You know, there are people you can reach out to that will help you. And you know, we always say suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And unfortunately, yesterday, one of the individuals was military. We do get a lot of military suicides, and, you know, the military works with them as best they can. But, you know, you've got to want the help to get the help. And so it's unfortunate. Me being a veteran, you know, I hate to see that. But that's something we deal with on a pretty regular basis, unfortunately.
Yeah, and for you to notice that it's increasing I mean, that's significant alone. Is there any, I don't know, is there any demographic, any cause, anything you can think of that you would help explain why this has gone up recently?
No, and you know, usually the military suicides, they went up significantly during the, the war when it was really going in Iraq and Afghanistan. They really went up, but unfortunately, and I hate to say it this way, but you kind of expect that because these guys and gals that go over there and see some horrific things, and then the next thing you know, they're back here having, you know, interacting with people normally, but they're still, their mind is still over there seeing those terrible things. So, but you know, now that we're not technically in a, you know, frontline war right at the moment, we're still doing operations to combat terrorism, but nothing to the level like it was back in 2006, 2007. I can't explain the military side of it. I really can't.
I want to talk about this a little bit more in just a second. We're talking to Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on free pest or termite quote, you can visit KnoxPest.com. Knox knocks them out. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, now, when you know, the news media often has this kind of unstated or stated rule, you know, we don't really talk about suicide that much. I actually think that's a mistake. Because especially like military suicides, that has become something that we've talked about a lot because we're trying to help people get help and realize it's a problem and do what we can to combat it. Now, we're not going to get into particular details and all of that, but if it's a social problem, I want to talk about it because I want to help solve it. And like my best friend, when I had two people that were best friends in high school, one of my best friends killed himself. And I mean, to this day, that haunts me. To this day, that hurts me. And it, I mean, so many people, you know, it's such a selfish act that the person who's feeling, you know, desperate and depressed doesn't maybe think about it, but you will hurt everybody who cares about you for the rest of their lives. It is so profoundly cruel to other people to do this. It's, I don't know, you know. So, I love that you recommend help, and I love that there's that available, you know, as I'm sure you've seen it many times in your work as a sheriff.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, we have a peer program now to where, you know, because especially when it comes to police suicide, you know, cops don't want to talk to people who haven't been through what they've been through. So, you know, we have a peer program now where they can call anonymously and a deputy will come out and talk to them or talk to them over the phone. And, you know, because they can relate. They can say, I've been on a call where we pulled a dead child out of a pool. I know what you're going through kind of thing. That's helped a lot. And, you know, knock wood, our agency, we haven't had a suicide in a very, very long time. And hopefully we won't anytime in the future. But we try our best to prevent them.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times people, too, they don't realize, they think there's something wrong with them if they're feeling depressed. And there's not. Humans react this way. And humans let the bad circumstances get the better of them, and humans feel despair. I mean, very, very common. It's then what you do with it. And that's why talking to other people and getting some help and getting some counseling from people who have experienced it is so vital, because it's extremely common. It's not to be ashamed of. That's been the whole push in the military. Don't be ashamed. Get the help you need, because we want you to be around, right?
Yeah, and that's the same way in law enforcement, too. You know, when I started back in the early 80s, you know, if you showed any signs of, you know, mental weakness, you weren't a good cop. And we got away from that stigma. And, you know, now it's like, if, you know, you need to worry about yourself if you don't have issues when you do deal with dead children, or you do deal with something traumatic, or you have to shoot somebody. So now it's an entirely different situation now in law enforcement. I'm glad of that, because we had a lot of suicides back in the 80s because they'd think, oh, I'm weak, I'm not worthy. And which is just not true. You're human beings, like you said. If you shoot somebody and kill somebody, and you don't feel bad about it, no matter what the circumstance, you probably have an issue.
Right.
We're not wired for that. We're not wired to take people's lives and not, you know, care about it, kind of thing.
And by the way, the 988 hotline is still active, right? That's still available to everybody nationwide.
Yep.
Very
sure
good.
Is.
Well, 988, you can always call that if you're feeling a crisis, or, you know, if you know somebody and you want to help, whatever, that is available for you. And like I said, I know we don't talk about this a lot, but, man, you talk about something that affects a lot of people, in all kinds of ways. And if we can stop it or reduce it, we absolutely want to. So to hear that it's going up is very concerning. Sheriff Bob Johnson, Senator Sheriff Bob Johnson, sir, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for doing what you do, and thanks for bringing some awareness to our community. I appreciate it.
Yep, thank you, Andrew. We'll talk at you next Monday.
You bet. 820 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
What's everyone worried about right now? Costs going up. And if you're thinking of starting a business, that's even scarier. That's one of the many reasons why becoming a Janie King Gulf Coast franchisee is a great idea. Offices and businesses are always going to need to be cleaned. Janie King has built a proven system that gives you the tools to take control of your future confidently and with the support you need to thrive. Take control of your future today at JannieKingCleans.com.
Janie King, the king of clean.
Lexus, BMW, Jaguar.
Where is the best place to take your vehicle for service and repair? That, my friend, is Matrix Auto Service, the future of auto service.
Porsche, Mercedes, Land Rover.
Their expert technicians provide top-notch service and repairs to all makes and models. At Matrix Auto Service, they pride themselves on transparency, honesty, and customer satisfaction, with their number one goal, getting you back on the road quickly and safely. Matrix Auto Service, 5675 North Davis Highway.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Cole, you're wandering all over the track.
Yeah, well, the son of a just slammed into me.
No, he didn't slam into you. He didn't bump you. He didn't nudge you. He rubbed you. And rubbing, son, is racing.
Rubbing sun, it's racing. 823 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you have a company, you have employees. If you have employees, you have benefits. If you have benefits, you have headaches, right? Because trying to figure out this stuff and do the best by your employees to attract them, to retain them. But when it comes to health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, managing HR, managing payroll, all that, This is probably not why you got into your company, not why you started your company, but it can certainly be the thing that you have to deal with afterwards. Well, that's where Torgerson Consulting comes in. They are there to help you. Yeah, they recently went through a name change, but Torgerson Consulting, the name now, same great company that's been helping people for more than 20 years locally manage their employee benefits. I know because we've been using them here at News Radio in Cat Country for about 4 years, and they have been fantastic. Options we didn't have, better choices than we had, better by far customer service than we ever had before. So I have been loving them, absolutely loving them. So give them a call, no obligation, have them look at what you're doing and see if they can help you do it better. 433-9996 or check them out online, tcbenefitsgroup.com for Torgerson Consulting. Let's see, 824 here on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. A shooting spree in Lexington, Kentucky left three people dead and three more injured. Authorities have identified the shooter as Guy House. They say he shot and wounded a Kentucky State police trooper at the Bluegrass Airport, then fled. The scene was tracked to an area near the Richmond Road Baptist Church, where he fired several shots on church property. Two women were killed there. Two other people were injured and hospitalized. Police then shot and killed the suspect. A fire that tore through a nursing home in Massachusetts being blamed now for 9 deaths and some 30 injuries. That, according to their police chief, a mass casualty event was called after that fire was reported last night. Arriving crews found people hanging from windows, screaming for help. 5 firefighters were also reported to be injured as they were rescuing people. Some of the best sluggers in the big leagues, Andrew, showing off their talents in the home run derby tonight in Atlanta. Mariners catcher Cal Raleigh, who leads MLB with 38 home runs, headlines the field at that event.
Yeah, I normally really look forward to the derby and the All-Star game. It's kind of snuck up on me a little bit this year, so I can't say that my level of enthusiasm is probably where it should be historically. John, are you going to watch the Derby tonight?
Oh, yes, I am. Of course.
I will watch it as long as we don't have is it John? No, who's the Berman that's always doing the back?
Chris Berman.
Chris Berman. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I could mute, please. okay, so who's in it tonight? Jazz Chisholm is in it. Junior Caminero, Matt Olson, Brian Buxton. I don't know any of these names. What's wrong with me? Are they all AL guys?
What?
Brent Rooker, James Wood, O'Neill Cruz, and Cal Raleigh. That's weird. I only barely recognize one or two of these names, and I listen to the Cardinals games all the time. So, okay. All
right. That's part of the problem.
So be it. Oh, you're going to be in trouble later.
I know.
Your girlfriend's a huge Cardinals fan, which I don't know why she's with you. Anyway, John Pickens, this guy, you know, usually our fans have better judgment. Right. John Pickens has traffic on the 5.
Except for me. All right. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. No accidents to report to you, nor any delays. Everything looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
John is always getting blessed with forced to watch the Cardinals game with his girlfriend, and then he always wants to talk with me about the games, and I'm always like 3 days behind on the games. So, you know, there you go.
You're like, don't tell me anything.
Yeah, I don't
want to
know yet. I'm still halfway through that Friday game against the Braves. Hey, one of the new advertisers on the program, we're really excited about them, is Quality Roofing Solutions. They've been around since 2006. Brian Ward founded the company. And so for 19 years, they've been building thousands and thousands and thousands of roofs in this area. Big supporter of local charities, ARC Gateway, the Santa Rosa County School District, the Dave Ramsey Foundations in Finance. Big supporter of local youth athletics, big believer in that. Also happens to be rated 4.9 on Google. It's pretty good. It's pretty good with almost 1,000 ratings, which is, 4.9. Good Lord, that's amazing. What do they do? Well, you know, they do it right. I mean, it's not exotic. You know, it's really not rocket science. It's roof. But they just do it right. They talk to you like a person because they know you don't understand. I mean, they don't assume, like the technical jargon kind of thing that happens a lot of times with people. They're just there to help you get a better roof. And they stand by it. They will lifetime guarantee that roof, which is really rare. They do about 200 photos per roof. That's before and after. So you know it was done. You have the record if there's ever an insurance claim. I mean, it's just all the little things that add up to a company that for 19 years has been doing great roofs locally. So if you need a roof, give them a call. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961. John, I have a... There's a blob. There's a blob on the radar.
Oh, okay, because I was like, wait a second. Don't personal. Stop it.
No, the NOAA, you know, 7-day graphical tropical weather outlook shows it's the exact opposite of what happened 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, you had the X on the like Big Bend side, and then the arrow for the yellow going over into the Atlantic. You have the exact opposite. You have the X, which is the area of concern, over the Atlantic, and then the arrow goes right across I-4, and then there's a big zone of uncertainty all over the Gulf of Mexico.
America.
And extending somewhat into the land, in our, like basically the panhandle in Alabama and Mississippi and Louisiana. So we're watching it. It's going to mean rain later in the week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's all we really have to say about that right now. But, yeah, second blob of the year, I guess we can. If we want to use the official jargon, 4-3-7-16-20. Jimmy Patronis, remember he said right at the end of our interview he was emailing me something?
Yes.
He did email me a follow-up from Flying Magazine that, yeah, the Big Beautiful Bill, so-called, has $85 million in it to relocate Space Shuttle Discovery from the Udvar-Hazy Museum in Virginia. Which is like it's, you know, there's a museum or there's the Air and Space Museum with
right.
the Smithsonian. That's the one you've heard of.
Yes.
The Udvar-Hazy is across the water. It's amazing. We went there the last time we went to D.C. and it is fantastic. You should go if you like aviation. Actually, Udvar-Hazy is where 90% sure this is right. The plane that Ryan Jenkins had flown in when he was doing crop dusting one time that they then turned into the movie that was about the planes, like cars, like planes.
Oh.
And that plane is there. So anyway, just all kinds
of.
Wow. No. Why do we need to spend $85 million to move the Discovery from D.C., where it is and has been for a long time, to Texas? Because, you know, Ted Cruz and John Cornyn want to see it in Houston.
$85 million.
Are you crazy? Doge should kill that.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. President Trump meets this morning at the White House with NATO's leaders. He prepares to send more military might to Ukraine.
The Russians keep getting more and more aggressive. So now President Trump is teasing a 1-2 punch to hit Putin where it hurts. Some new sanctions for Russia, some new weapons for Ukraine. The new plan is for the U.S. to send weapons to NATO and for NATO to reimburse the United States for the cost of these weapons on their way to Ukraine.
Fox's Peter Ducey at the White House. No word on a motive for shootings in Lexington, Kentucky. A state trooper wounded during a traffic stop, then four people shot at a church.
Two female victims were pronounced deceased at the scene. The other two victims, both male, were transported to a local hospital.
Lexington Police Chief Lawrence Weathers, the suspect, was shot and killed by responding officers. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It is 85 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies and a beautiful Monday morning here in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with Channel 3 and meteorologist Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. Taking a look at our headlines today, it was a controversial topic last week at the Escambia Board of Commissioners meeting, the county looking at what Chairman Mike Kohler called a mostly administrative name change for the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America and county ordinances.
I like to say it, Gulf of Mexico, Gulf of Mexico, Gulf of Mexico. That I am also a lifelong resident here in Escambia County and grew up on those beaches.
Diane Crummel there, one of several residents speaking against that procedural change. And the commissioners say it was really just in accordance with recent statewide policy changes. In the end, it did pass with Commissioners Lumen May and Stephen Barry voting against it. A Pensacola woman was critically hurt after a crash Monday morning that may have been caused by a medical issue. Officials say the 66-year-old crashed into a dumpster and bushes in a parking lot about 1:20 this morning at a business on Mobile Highway. The driver was taken to a local hospital for treatment. The crash is still under investigation by the Florida Highway Patrol. Well, our District 1 congressman has filed a big amendment for our community. It's an amendment to the defense appropriations bill that would guarantee the Blue Angels stay in Pensacola forever.
We're actually putting in an appropriations bill. Appropriations bill have a much higher probability of passing the process. So that's a way we can put some protection. It's germane to the bill that we're basically saying you cannot use defense monies to relocate the Blue Angels. So that's a way that we are kind of using a budget bill to protect the placement of our Blue Angels.
District 1 Representative Jimmy Petrona says he filed the amendment in celebration of the Angels' 70th anniversary here in Pensacola, but not in response to any imminent danger of them moving, although there have been rumors over the years. Last year there was talk the Angels could be relocated due to damage at their facilities following Hurricane Sally. State Democrat lawmakers toured the Everglades alligator Alcatraz on Saturday. They had some strong thoughts about that facility afterwards. Some of the lawmakers said it was an inhumane facility.
They are essentially packed into cages, wall-to-wall humans, 32 detainees per cage.
And that is State Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz. The lawmakers got a tour of the facility over the weekend and said they'd intended to visit unannounced. But they say when the state became aware of their plans, the tour was arranged for Saturday morning. Well, Senator Rick Scott says he thinks that New York Democrats are driving more people to move here to Florida. Scott was in New York. He went on a radio show over the weekend, and he discussed Zohran Mamdani's recent win in New York's Democrat primary for mayor. Scott said he thinks that elected Democrat officials in New York seem to be recruiting people to move to Florida. He's predicting Mamdani could kill jobs, ruin education, and make New Yorkers less safe. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Just one minor fender bender that happened on W Street and Avery Street. Not seeing any delays or road blockages associated with that one. I just wanted you to be aware. I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And thank you very much, John. Taking a look at our forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We do have a 40% chance of some showers and thunderstorms today, high near 93 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 81. For Tuesday, 40% chance of rain, high near 94. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Going into Wednesday, a 70% chance of rain with a high near 90 and a low near 76. Stay active, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEART Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 84 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Your next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. And taking a look at your money now this morning. Markets at the opening bell are down, but not by a whole lot. Dow's down 102.5 points at 44,268. S&P down 9.5 points, 62.5041. NASDAQ down 4 points at 25.81. 10-year bond rate up slightly, 2.72%. Gold prices down $1.80, 33.6220. Silver is down 7 cents at 39.03. Crypto this morning is up across the board. Bitcoin up over 2,100 at 121,315.99. Ethereum up 42.58 at 3,041.53. Solana's up about 350. Dogecoin up 0.2 cents at just over 20 cents this morning. Now, the historic flooding that hit Texas comes at the same time as the federal government is looking to dismantle FEMA. Former Administrator Deanne Criswell says the fallout proves federal aid is necessary.
Texas is the most capable state when it comes to emergency management, but even this response required additional help.
And she says that without federal emergency resources, it could lead to a loss of life. And she said smaller states tend to fund their emergency management through grants. President Trump is ramping up tariffs on two of America's top trading partners. Trump announcing that his administration is putting a 30% tariff on imports from Mexico and the European Union starting on August 1st. In posts on Truth Social Saturday, he threatened even higher tariffs if they try and retaliate. And it's not a bird, not a plane. Superman is a hit at the box office. The first film in James Gunn's DC Universe stars David Cornsweet as the Man of Steel. It's raked in now close to $123 million in its opening weekend. 8:38, our next news in 30 minutes, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Hi, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants, backed by over 200 years of combined experience, has helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share. With four powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs. And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies that gives your business an edge. Let's make 2025 a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader, Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station, the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola Playlist 94.5 for reaching women and lifestyle audiences, or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call me, Jeff Wayne, at 850-262-6000.
Summer season is here, and Florida's summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Blue Sky Landscaping and Pensacola Hardware.
Why'd I go to the doctor? My heart would race just taking my son to practice. It didn't feel right. So I got checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, today's question, this is almost a real question. In fact, I mean, I'll be, it is a real question, okay? So I have it in the frivolous topic category, but if you want to accuse me of asking a real talk radio question during a frivolous topic, I guess I'm going to be guilty of it today. I came across an article that literally asked the question that I want to ask you. It was a Miami Herald Archives one that just came out a couple days ago. How young is too young to leave a child alone at home? And my question is just a little bit different than that, which is, how old do you leave them alone at home? And more to the point, how old were you when you were left home alone, if you can remember?
Son, I don't 437. That.
you don't remember 60 years ago, John?
No. What? Dude.
You can still do quick math. I love it.
No.
437.
Wasn't that long ago.
437, 1620. I have theories about this, but what's the age where it's okay? And I know every child is different. And of course, you're going to, you know, don't give me that. It's of course. But generally speaking, you know, like think if your friend says, I left my 13-year-old home alone for the day, overnight, for a week, you know. At what point do you raise your eyebrows or not? You know, the 8-year-old, the 16-year-old, you know, at some point you're like, of course you did. And at some point you're like, oh my God, you did what? So that's what I'm kind of trying to gauge. And then how does it compare with when you were left at home alone? Let's say, let's make it easy, for more than 4 hours. Overnight is its own special thing, but for more than 4 hours is where I'm going to go with here. So, John, 437-1620, how old were you?
I don't remember.
Can't place it?
Yeah, no.
John's 14. Never been home alone yet.
I know. That's part of the problem.
He's
right
not
now.
Kevin McAllister, okay?
So say the question again to me.
How old is it okay? When's it okay to leave a kid home alone for multiple hours by themselves? 4 or 5 hours, something like that.
13.
What's that? 13. Okay. All right. And when were you?
I want to say 14.
Okay.
Just mama loving.
Late bloomer. All right. Yeah. Parents are often at home. So.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Meg, 437-1620. Meg?
Well, clearly things have changed. Because I was left home alone at 6 or 7.
But you're only 30.
Correct, but things have changed. I love you, Andrew.
Yes,
it's
6 or 7. Now you're
Thanks,
speaking my
Andrew.
Language. Go
Thank
on.
You, Andrew. You're my new best friend this morning. I grew up where we went outside all day, and they said, come back when it's, you know, they had no idea where you were. You know, come back when the lights come on, street lights come on.
I saw a thing on social media where somebody said, is that really true? Yes.
Yes, really
that's really
true.
Go on.
And I used to babysit at 11, 10, 11, and 12, like for 50 cents an hour.
Yes.
So I was babysitting at 10.
The low teens were the supervisors generation.
I definitely
that's right.
remember babysitting that or that young, and, 10, 11, 12.
And obviously, if you can babysit, you can be home alone.
Correct.
No
so
problem.
I was left home pretty early.
Yeah. So funny is at this, like as a parent now,
with
a 21, a 19, and a 16, and I hate to say it, but, you know, not overnight for the younger kids, but, you know, certainly, I mean, 12 or 13 for several hours.
Well, now you have 28-year-olds living at home.
Well, that's a whole different subject.
Yeah,
no,
that's
right.
A whole different one.
But I will say, you know, if like, say, like an 11-year-old, a 10-year-old, there's a part of me that's like, I don't know. But then I think, I mean, my parents were divorced, and I was home alone after school. I was a latchkey kid at, like, 6.
Right.
You know, and? I mean, and? You know?
And look how you turned out.
Maybe a warning, not an endorsement.
I'm really going to leave that one alone.
Is it really that they're that much more at risk? I say the answer is no. Or is it really that we've just coddled them? And it's more of an acknowledgement that we don't think we've raised them to be independent enough to be able to handle it. And I mean, it might be true that they're not. I just know it's a sad thing to me because, like you said, I mean, 6 or 7 was probably not overnight. I don't think overnight, not for days or anything like that.
My parents went out to dinner.
I mean, I was at least 9 before I was home a week alone, so.
Yeah, I don't.
John Pickens has got traffic on the 5s. John?
Okay. All right. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Still dealing with that minor fender bender that happened on W Street and Avery Street. No road blockage or delays associated. I just wanted you to be aware of it. Other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Hey, if you've got a home improvement project, you need to fix something, Pensacola Hardware has it. And not just they have it, but they have the advice. They have the guidance. They, you know, a lot of things that they sell, honestly, can be dangerous if they're not used properly. And they want to make sure that, you know, you use it safely. They also want to make sure you get the end result. So if they ask you, you might go in there and you might go to buy something and they'll say, hey, have you ever done this before? You know, like, why? You know, I mean... Never get asked that anywhere else. But they might ask you and you say, well, why? Because we just want to make sure you get the end result you want. We want to make sure that you're satisfied, not just at purchase time, but, you know, forever, right? That's our goal. And that's true whether it's a little thing. That's true whether it's a big thing. For commercial construction folks, which they are the commercial construction supply business, same thing. They want to make sure that you get the end result that you know, that you're going to like solve a problem, which they're there to help you with. They speak your language. They're there to help you make your job better, make your end product better, and to make sure that you know that they are on your side and they understand things from your point of view. Talk to Jimmy or Martin or Mansfield and ask them. They'll know. You won't need a translator to talk to them. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851, which is I still think is crazy, but it's true. 847 on News Radio 92.3. The question of the day is, how old is it? How young? I don't know. What's the age where you can start to leave kids at home alone for several hours at a time? Not necessarily go to Europe like Kevin McAllister and home alone, but still, you know, several hours at a time. I think that most people would say a much higher number today than they would have said back say 40 years ago. 437-1620, getting a bunch of texts in on this. Let's see. My kids are 23 years old, and I don't know if I trust him home alone.
There you go.
There you go.
Man, yeah. Rough. I was one of 9 kids.
Oh, my goodness.
I would have loved to have been left home alone.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, right? My mom left us home alone when I was 10. If we needed help, we'd go to the neighbor's house. Of course, fairness, that was a day when the neighbors would have been there. And that may not always be true today. But, yeah, no, that's true. You had different neighborhoods. You know, many of the moms would be home and sure. the kids would be home. And, you know, you weren't alone in the house on the street.
It was
and
sort of a group effort.
Yeah, and people would be outside doing stuff. It was a different kind of environment. True. Let's see. I was 12, and I think that is still a good age. 15 if they're responsible, 27 if not. I was actually thinking about how, I mean, I learned to cook. I was very young. You know, I'd learned to, my mom taught me to cook, and so I could take care of myself at a very young age, and you know, just that's how it was, right? Let's see, 12 is the youngest, I believe, to leave alone. I was left alone at 8, babysitting my younger brothers, but that does depend on the child. I want to know, I'm curious about that. How many siblings babysat younger siblings and at what age? And I bet it was young. Mm-hmm. I think my wife was babysitting her younger brother and she was like 8. You know, same thing.
Gosh.
But she's super responsible. But still, that was, you know, that was the 70s. Or I guess for her, it was the 80s. Let's see. I was left alone at 12, which seemed a lot older in 1967 than it does now. My sister and I were left alone after school and for school breaks when she was 6 and I was 8 in the early 80s. Normal. Mm-hmm. Definitely normal back then. I was left alone at 9 or 10 when we lived in Naples, Italy. My parents loved going to the officers' club.
Aww.
Well, you know, but okay. Of course, you also had other things back in the day, right? Which was, hey, go down to the store and get me a 6-pack and a smokes for the 7-year-old.
Exactly.
Oh, that's a whole different question, though.
Oh, I know.
Uh-oh.
What age can you send them out
to
go run errands, to go do things, you know? I think these days you'd probably get arrested. And those days, why didn't your parents just send you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So slightly different environment. Let's see. Kim says, I was babysitting at 13 with someone else's child. I'm a Marine brat. Maybe I was brought up differently, but both my brother and I were left alone, and we both babysat at the age of 13. And let's see. Mom used to drop us off at the Pensacola, go fishing beer. Can't quite make out the grammar here. Back in the 60s, drop us off in Pensacola, and we'd go fishing back in the 1960s when we were 7 or 8, and they'd leave us there all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, you know, I don't want to go back to how, like, medicine was 40 years ago. I don't want to go back to a lot of things from 40 years ago, but I would like to go back to the general culture of responsibility and education and information, because I don't think we've gotten better in this regard, unfortunately. All right, 8:51 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need to do a real estate transaction, you want a good realtor. Why? Well, obviously to make sure that you get all the way through to the end result. It's no fun doing 90% of a real estate transaction. Also, to make sure you get the best end result possible, best price selling, best price buying, that's Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. They know what the market's doing. They know what's normal, what people are asking, what they're getting, what they're not getting. You know, one of the problems with if you don't do a lot of transactions is you don't really know what's normal. But if Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty closing 3.5-4 deals a week, they know what's normal and they can help you navigate that terrain. Yeah, you can ask that price. No, you cannot get that change made. She'll tell you. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
If you are a fan of Joann's Fabrics, you're gonna love Daryl Sewing of Pensacola. Daryl Sewing is the largest sewing and embroidery machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering lots of apparel fabric, children's fabric, and quilting fabric, in addition to sewing machine furniture, sewing and embroidery supplies, and notions. Financing is available. 850-438-5444. Remember, Daryl Sewing, 6705 North Davis Highway, between Creighton and Burgess. Online at sewinginpensacola.com.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for the fall semester is now open. Classes begin August 18th. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu. Go here, get there.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy over the past few years. How do you know when to buy or sell? You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Levin Rinke Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights 7 to 10 before WEAR-TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
The issue isn't whether you're paranoid, Lenny. The issue is whether you're paranoid enough.
This interesting sort of brewing drama in Escambia County between the school board and the Board of County Commissioners last week on Thursday's meeting, which was, I mean, I've listened to the whole meeting now, but I've only gotten through really two of the main issues. One had to do with the, and it was, I don't even think it was that important of an issue, but it did have a lot of discussion. That's the Gulf of America, Gulf of Mexico thing. The other issue that I think is actually much more substantial and interesting politically is having this conversation about an elected versus an appointed superintendent. And then actually putting it on the ballot, because the school board has approved to put it on the ballot, but it is up to the county commissioners to. It's kind of a weird system. Like, the school board approves it, and then they send the county commissioners a note, hey, put this on the ballot. Then the county commissioners have to vote to put it on the ballot, and that goes to Robert Bender, the supervisor of elections, who puts it on the ballot. I mean, that is a hackneyed system for sure. But the issue is that what the school board wants is to put the issue. And this is, how long into this are we? 7 years? It's not very far. We haven't really been trying it for very long. To put it back on the ballot to be elected again instead of appointed. And they have asked for it to be on the primary election as opposed to during the general election. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 98, 29 are all looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars. Cars that are a year, two, 3 years young, low miles, great condition. And, you know, one of the things that you can ask them at Frontier is, you know, not just do you have this or can you find it in that color or this miles. Ask them what people are saying about the cars. The cars that they buy, the cars that they sell to them, the cars that come in. Because, you know, one of the, I mean, you might not think about this, but one of the interesting advantages of buying a used car is, especially if it's a somewhat newer model, like a generation, it's had a chance to be tested a little bit in the field, right? And you can see from that whether people like or don't like, or, you know, what issues, what kind of maintenance record is it having? It may surprise you. I'm not a big, like, early adopter, so we like to buy cars that are not the first year of that. That's why we had to test drive the car that we did buy, was because it was just hard and it was new and we wanted to make sure. Well, we asked them, you know, how is this doing? Well, they liked it, so that's what, part of why we bought it. But the point is, when you go to Frontier, ask them their opinion. They see thousands of cars. They'll have opinions, and they can help guide you into something that you'll be happy with long term. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Back to this conversation being had at the Escambia County Commission last week over the scheduling of a ballot initiative, and they kind of delayed. Lumen May wanted to delay this to have a little bit more conversation. The deadline is like May of next year, so there's nothing urgent about this. But Ashley Hoffberger says,
I would recommend, and I know that your opinion on this has been different than the legal counsel for the school board, that we would put it on a general ballot because so many more people turn out for a general election than a primary election. So if the goal of the board is really to make sure our communities are heard, I want to make sure that everyone has the ability to do that, and it's an election where people turn out for.
That wasn't the recommendation, was to put on the primary by the school board, wasn't it, Allison?
The school board voted that it go on the primary ballot, which is next August. That is what they have sent to us.
Man, I just, you know, I have not watched the meeting where the school board went through this. I'm about 50% on watching school board meetings because, man, a lot of those meetings are so boring. Some stuff is really interesting, but some of it's like, meh. Anyway, I did not watch this particular meeting, so I do not know what reasons they gave or whether they gave any reasons. But picking the primary is a terrible choice because you have so many fewer voters. This is an issue that, I mean, if we are going to do this, and apparently we are, which I think is crazy. I mean, you know, it's kind of funny. Like, Keith Leonard is doing a great job, right? How did we get Keith Leonard? Appointed. So having an appointed superintendent seems to be working. So definitely let's break it and do something else. Now, I know Tim Smith had his challenges, but would we have gotten a different result if we had had elected? Do we know? I mean, what's so, like, they're going to go to, they're going to try to vote to have an elected, and then Keith Leonard is going to have to run for an elected, and they hope that he wins as an, I mean, what? Don't you have what you want right now? Why are you changing? It's so weird. But it is extra weird to put it in the primary when you're not going to have very many people turning out to vote, right? Those are the low turnout elections, and it's in a midterm, let alone being a low turnout. Plus, you're going to have people where the, like, let's say there's closed primaries because you have multiple GOP candidates and also Democrat MPAs running. There's so few people. The Democrats aren't going to show up to vote for their one person, right? I mean, it will be on the ballot. You can show up to vote for the referendum, but it'll be the only thing on the ballot. And do you know how hard it is to get people to show up to vote for one thing? So, no, I am completely in favor of delaying it until the general election, as Lumen May pointed out.
And so even if we are required to put it on statutorily, that's the reason why they want it on the primary and not the general.
Right. But, Allison, you said earlier you felt like we had the ability to choose which ballot.
Yes, so...
And by the way, there's a difference of opinion here between Cindy Odom for the school board, the lawyer, who says it ought to be on the one that we actually recommend, the primary. Allison Rogers for the county says she thinks that it can be on any election. That's what satisfies the statute. They eventually decided to delay it for 30 days. Mike Kohler said that, and they agreed with that. But yeah, putting it on a partisan primary is a bad idea. The largest share of voters should be able to make this decision, especially Democrats and members of the minority who might be disenfranchised otherwise.